Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Wicker.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, a woman is suing Milwaukee County for how she was treated during her pregnancy at the county jail. We'll learn more about the case.
First, today was the 13th annual State of the Tribes Address at the Wisconsin Capitol. Shannon Holsey, president of the Stockbridge-Munsee community, delivered the address to legislators at the Capitol this afternoon.
We're getting analysis now of the speech from Janice Rice and Patty Lowe. Janice Rice is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and was the outreach coordinator for the college library at UW-Madison until her retirement in 2015. She was also an archivist for the Ho-Chunk people, and she's a past president of the American Indian Library Association. And Patty Lowe is a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences Communication and the School of Human Ecology. She's an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, and she's an affiliated faculty with the American Indian Studies Program. She's written several books on the Native American experience and history in Wisconsin. Janice, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
And Patty, welcome back. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Patty, let's start with you. Is there any significance in the fact that the Stockbridge-Munsee community president, Shannon Holsey, delivered this year's address?
Well, the State of the Tribes address is delivered by tribal chairs or presidents on a rotating basis. So this was the Mohican Nation, Stockbridge-Munsee community's time for that. So it wasn't significant in terms of, you know, why it was the Mohicans. It was just their turn.
And how did you see her speech received?
Well, you know, I've been attending these for quite a few years, and I always like to, you know, quantify the applause interruptions. And she was interrupted 31 times by applause from the state legislators and received 7 standing ovations. And Janice, I'm trying to think back. I know you and I have watched this a couple of times. And do you remember that kind of endorsement from the state legislature before? I don't either.
They were the first to stand up. Sometimes in the past, it's been the audience stands first, mm-hmm. even though we're not supposed to, and then they follow suit. But it's this time it was reversed. The legislature, they stood up.
Janice, early in the speech, she acknowledged Native Americans, Native veterans, particularly women veterans. What did you make of that, and what did she say?
I thought it was very good that she addressed the veterans and the women that were with us today. Then she also spoke of the women veterans, the ones that broke the glass ceiling, the ones that have protected us. So I thought that was a good way to start her speech, because we all honor the veterans, and that's what she addressed. In our communities, they are very valuable to us, and they're honored, and so they lead out our ceremonies and our dances, and they are very much respected in all our communities. So I thought it was very good that she did that.
And I'm not sure that most Americans know that Native Americans have the highest per capita service in the military branches. 140,000 American Indians are serving in various military branches. 10% of those are women. And so it was very empowering, I think, to see an entire color guard march into the assembly chambers made up totally of women carrying the tribal flags and the eagle staffs and that sort of thing.
Patty, did it hit home in any way that, you know, ordinary people do extraordinary things? We heard that in the speech several times. Did you find that to be a theme that had continuity in this year's speech?
I think most Native people would say just the fact we're still here is pretty extraordinary. I don't mean to be flip about that, but we constantly find ourselves fighting for our languages, our cultures, our education, our environments, and I think that was a theme that permeated her speech today, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Janice, go ahead.
I was just going to agree with Patty and say I thought that she did a very good job of that, because some of the examples that she used, especially of the daily living type of life, that we're all people and that it's a, just an ordinary person in everyday living that can make a difference. And she addressed all those, the age gap, age span from the young people to the elders. So I thought that she did a good job.
Let's dig into the speech a little bit, starting first with conservation. Mm. And she said the tribes stand with Governor Walker's opposition to the defunding of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Talk a little bit about what else stood out to you on the issue on conservation. Patty?
Well, she mentioned the Back 40 gold mine, and that is an issue that the Menominee are very concerned about, along with non-native people as well. And if you understand the geography of that area, the 250,000-acre rectangle that the Menominee have in Menominee County, the Mohican Nation Stockbridge Muncie community occupies the southwest corner of that reservation. So this, they're very close to this mine as well. This is a sulfide mine. These kinds of mines are known to leak acid, and this is upstream from some sacred sites of the Menominee Nation, some burial sites. And so this is a really big issue for the Menominee and for other Native people as well. I would say the tribes in the state, I'm pretty sure that all of them at some point have issued mining impact statements and have stood in solidarity on that kind of mining, and to a lesser extent, iron mining as well. But the fact that she mentioned that, and that, I'm not sure. Do you know, has the state of Wisconsin taken an official position on that mine? I'm not sure that it has.
I have not heard.
Do you know?
I do not know either, but I know that it is, you know, the Menominee River, even though that it shares a border with Wisconsin, you know, certainly there is issues with Wisconsin having a say as well.
Right.
Yeah. We're talking right now about the 13th Annual State of the Tribes Address. Our guests, Patty Lowe and Janice Rice. Patty Lowe here in the studio is the professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences Communication and the School of Human Ecology, and Janice Rice, who is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and she was the outreach coordinator for the college library at UW-Madison to her retirement in 2015. Let's move on now to the Wisconsin Act 31, which mandates that Wisconsin students are educated on tribal history and culture and sovereignty. Janice, what is the Wisconsin Act 31?
It's an act that addresses tribal sovereignty and teaching Indian culture, and also even getting into language in the schools. And Patty, do you remember what age levels that are specifically addressed?
I don't think it's specified in the act itself, but I think it's three times in the K-12 experience. But it also has some requirements for teacher certification. So any teacher that wants to teach in the state of Wisconsin has to have taken college credits that demonstrate that they have the capacity to teach that.
And what did President Holsey say about it?
She talked about changing it or revising it, updating it, because it's been how many years now, did she
28.
Say?
28. And it's unfunded.
Yes, it's been unfunded, so it's been from the good hearts of a lot of people that really value this, that it's carried along this far today. And so they're proposing to work together with Wisconsin Indian Education Association and revamp it and bring it to the legislature and have them take a look at it and address it in a more positive way towards pulling together some of the pieces that really haven't tied together in the past. And so they're looking at the community is getting together so that there's more probably funding to go with it, I would hope, so that there would be fuller representation in the curriculum for American Indians.
And Patty, what were some of your takeaways from this speech?
Well, having seen quite a few of these, this seemed to me to be less contentious. I think Shannon Holsey was more diplomatic. She was more conciliatory. It seemed like she took a lot of opportunities at, you know, in almost every part of her speech to point out those areas of common space where the state and the tribes actually have some common denominators, and pointing out that the state and the Indian nations are stronger together, that the problems both face are really the same problems. We all want, is at one point, I think she said, we all want to drink clean water, we all want to breathe clean air, we all want good education for our children, we want good health. And so that, and I don't know whether it was a tribal thing or whether it was a gender thing or what, but I'm thinking of some of the male tribal leaders that have delivered that address in the past, and they haven't quite been as kumbaya-esque as Shannon Halsey was.
Janice, how important is the State of the Tribes address and that lawmakers hear it?
I think it's important that they hear from the tribal leaders, because on a daily basis they're not in front of them. Occasionally we'll have some issues that arise that are rural and urban, and you'll hear maybe some parent or someone from a community address the legislature, but that's kind of rare. So this is a chance for them to hear straight from our tribal leaders the issues that we have at the top of our list. So I think it's a real good opportunity and a chance for also the legislators to show their support. And I see it every so often that, you know, when they stand and give the standing ovation, or they stand up, or they applaud. So I know they're hearing some of the words that are being said, and then the interaction afterwards. So there's a reception afterward, and sometimes there is some more interaction there, as well as being on the floor and talking a little bit more. So I'm seeing a little bit more of that than I have in the past. A little more talking afterward than I saw in the beginning.
Ah, so yeah, opening up a dialogue.
Yes,
yeah. And I think. We sometimes sovereignty has been framed as a barrier between the state and the tribes. You know, that's something, it's something that the state has to navigate or litigate. And I think what Shannon did very competently was to point out that tribal sovereignty can be a source of strength for the state too. In healthcare, for example, she pointed out that there are opportunities for the state to be reimbursed for services it provides, but only if the tribes are involved. And so there are these pockets of money that are available to tribal communities that aren't available to other levels of government. And I think she effectively pointed that out.
Janice and Patty, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
That was Janice Rice, member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and she was the outreach coordinator for the college library at UW-Madison until her retirement in 2015. She was also an archivist for the Ho-Chunk people, and she's a past president of the American Indian Library Association. And Patty Lowe, who is a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences Communication in the School of Human Ecology. She's an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, and is an affiliated faculty with the American Indian Studies Program. She's written several books on the Native American experience and history in Wisconsin. Janice Rice and Patty Lowe joined us to talk about today's State of the Tribes address.